From the epistle, "We are weak, but you are strong. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen." When St. Paul says those words in the epistle, "We are weak, you are strong," he doesn't mean it as a compliment. But he means that they are relying on human strength. And he, with all of the weakness, and you'd call weakness the things that he has endured, and he names some of those in the epistle: persecuted, dishonored, buffeted, restless, off-scouring of all, weak condition. And yet he is strong in the Lord. That's the point. When we think of it that way, then when we go through periods in our life where we are like St. Paul, enduring all kinds of things that are difficult, trials of life, we should be encouraged that we are not defeated, but that we are strengthened, or can be strengthened, by the Lord if we have that right attitude. But we don't avoid those things, and so we have to adjust our expectations. That same truth you see when our Lord, we celebrate today the leave-taking of the Transfiguration, Matthew 17, the Gospel appointed. He's up on the mountain, and it's a glorious time with those disciples, Peter, James, and John. They come down from the mountain, and immediately, what are they dealing with? Certainly a difficult situation. This man with his son demonized, and the disciples have failed to heal this child that has these seizures, and they're weak in faith. In fact, it even says you have no faith. "Oh, faithless generation, how long am I with you?" the Lord says to them. You see, the reality is we may be in those kinds of very weak situations, but we don't need to stay in those situations of weakness. We can turn to the Lord for his strength. And that's what he's encouraging the Father, those disciples, to do. And so that's what he ultimately explains to them: prayer, fasting. Let your faith be built up by these challenges so that you do not stay in the same position of weakness. It doesn't mean that God always takes things away that are problematic. No. Now, the case in the gospel, our Lord does deliver this boy and heal him. It's a miracle. Sometimes the Lord miraculously does that. But many times we're called to simply bear with until God, in his timing, reveals ultimately the good things that he has for all of us that have our faith in him. I was pondering these things when I read this week from the Psalter. You know, I love to read the Psalms, and I was reading this week Psalm 37. And Psalm 37 begins with, "Fret not." And then it goes on two other times in that same psalm, "Fret not." In other words, don't, if you look at it in Hebrew, I think it's, the subtle meaning is, don't get stirred up when things don't always go well. Don't get stirred up. Certainly, even if you have at times that feeling of anger, let it go, let it go. If you have those troubled feelings, pray, fast, give it to God, and the Lord will then renew peace within you, renew his strength within you. I read St. Augustine's commentary on that particular psalm, and I thought it was very helpful to me. What does it say? I'll read it to you. Do you believe in Christ? Yes. Then why did you believe? What did he promise you? If Christ promised you happiness in this world, then go ahead and complain against him. Complain when you see the unbeliever happy. But what sort of happiness did he in fact promise you? Nothing else but happiness when the dead rise again. Think about that glorious day. That's real happiness. Nothing else but happiness when the dead rise again. That's God's promise to us. And then St. Augustine goes on, what did he promise you in this life? Only what he went through himself. Yes, I tell you, he promised you a share in his own experience. Do not disdain it. And then St. Augustine went on to say, remember the Lord's words, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a disciple above his teacher. And then he says, keep a steady eye. Keep a steady eye. In other words, when we go through those trials of life, focus. Focus on the Lord. Even if you've lost your focus, renew your focus. I was counseling someone recently, and she said to me, I heard once, it's like we are plants, like a plant. And plants naturally turn to the light, the sunlight, and they have that focus. I thought about that. In thy light shall we see light. We just heard that song verse. In other words, whenever we are troubled about anything, adjust our orientation, adjust our expectations, renew our focus on the Lord, and then he gives, even when we feel very weak, he gives us his strength. Saint Maximus the Confessor is the saint that, one of the saints that we remember today. And he certainly faced trials in his life situation. He's known for standing for the truth that was under challenge in his day. Did Christ have really a human will? Or just being divine, did he have a divine will? Now, the Fourth Ecumenical Council had said he has a full human nature and as well as full divine nature in the incarnation. He has both in one person. But it remained controversial even after that great council. So some people were saying in the church, let's try to make peace with, you know, all sides and get along, and maybe we can find this compromise. Okay, we affirm what the council said, but maybe we draw a line with Christ only had one will, and that was the divine will. And you say, well, you're getting into very subtle theology. But St. Maximus knew that there was something very important at stake there, the faith of our church, its teaching, its holy doctrines that are what the council said, what the fathers of the church said, what's there in Scripture about our Lord. And he could not compromise on that. And sometimes, you know, we stand up and we fight for the wrong thing. We fight for our own hurts and our own feelings, our own opinions, and our own wishes. No, those things, yeah, lay aside, get along. But if it's a matter of the faith and the way we live as Christians, That's where we stand firm. St. Maximus, he was a lonely voice at that time in Constantinople. The emperor was opposed to him, the patriarch was opposed to him, and they said, please sign this document that you agree with us. And they even said to him, you can still privately go off and believe and think whatever you will, but just sign this so that we can have more unity. But it would have been a false unity. In his conscience, he couldn't do it. And so, respectfully, and he said, no, I can't sign this. Respectfully. And they tried to accuse him, well then, are you saying we're all going to hell if we don't agree with you? No, we're not. I'm not judging you that way. So with love, he continued to try and respect, to just speak his conscience, what he knew to be the truth, but with that kind attitude. It's courage, it's faith, it's also with respect and humility. That's what we see witnessed there. Father Tom Hopko talks about this on the podcast I put on the e-bulletin this week. And when we have, like in our society today, such polarization where people feel so strongly about different things, there's a great lesson there. First of all, choose your battles. And is it really something about the faith itself that we need to be so strong about? Or maybe is it not? But if it is the faith itself, even if it is that, do it in a kind way, in a loving way, speaking your conscience in what we've been taught as Christians. Well, they ultimately, because he refused, they cut off his hand so he couldn't write against them. They cut off his tongue, and he died as a holy martyr. Saint Maximus. We learn from his life. He was strong in the Lord, even though I'm sure he felt human weakness, but it's the Lord who gives strength. When we go through these difficult times, we can also be comforted that we have spiritual fathers, and most of all, God himself is our Father. So we need never feel totally alone. Our Father who art in heaven, we can pray to him, and he can strengthen us and comfort us and empower us, help us. But we also have in the church spiritual fathers. It's been my privilege to serve as a spiritual father to many of you for many years. And now we have Father Raphael who has come. And I know he will be a wonderful spiritual father to you. And I commend him to you, and I know he will guide you and help you, and help you through those difficult times, but most of all, to help you keep growing in the Lord, to build up your faith with a realistic faith that we are going to face all kinds of challenges, but if we keep that right focus on the Lord, we can be strong in him. We can even tell ourselves, I'm going through what Jesus went through, and I know he at times says, I have nowhere to lay my head. And he experienced on the cross all kinds of pain, difficulty, even death. It's part of our fellowship with him in his suffering that then we, our faith is strengthened and something wonderful begins to happen. I remember visiting a lady in hospice shortly before her death, Amy Collier's mother, Sharon. And that dear woman, I asked her, and she was new into our church at that point, but she had a faith even before she came into our church. And I asked her about her, what she was feeling and processing spiritually. That's the concern in death. The main concern. And she shared with me, I've grown through this time so much closer to the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? I've grown through this so much closer to the Lord. That's what sometimes the trials of life and our fellowship with Christ in his suffering, experiencing what he experienced. That's what he offers us. And then beyond that, an eternal destiny, joy that never, never ends, that we can only begin to imagine the glory of what that will be. Have that right orientation, that right expectation, and let your faith grow. And through whatever the Lord puts us through or asks us to deal with, it's good. That's why he's allowing it. But may we all have, like St. Paul, whatever is happening, I may be weak, but he says it later in his second epistle to the Corinthians. He says, I've learned when I'm weak, then I am strong. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.